I've got so much to share in this next while. At the start of any new year, I guess it's always, you know, God speaks to one afresh, and it's so exciting to hear what the Lord says for the new year and all of that. So, but I won't be sharing all of that this morning. We've got the whole of January to go through some things. So, but I'm really excited. I trust that you are also excited at the start of a new year. I think it's really an opportunity to let go of the old and to say, God, I want to walk in your purposes. I want you to do something in my life this year and to change me and to use me. But I want to ask you a question this morning. I want to ask you, what is your expectation for 2016? Because just as Cheryl has shared, you know, one can look at the negative stuff. One can look at the bad stuff going on, the drought, you know, there's a lot of challenges. But what is your expectation for this year? And that's the word that came up to me in the last few days is expectation. God is asking us, and he's asking each one of us personally, what is our expectation? What is your expectation for this year? What do you really want him to do? What do you really want to see happen in your life, the lives of others? Yo, what is your purpose? Why are you, yeah, why is there another year added to your life? Why isn't it better just to rather just go to heaven and everything will be perfect? Just think about that for a while. What is your expectation for this year? And what is God's expectation, do you think? Do you think God has an expectation for this year? Do you think God is excited for 2016? Do you think God wants to move in 2016? Do you think God wants to change lives this year? Do you think God wants to change your life? But I really believe God moves by expectation. God moves by faith. Amen. This holiday, I had the privilege of, and the passion, ask my wife, of restoring an old tractor, a 1949 John Deere Model A tractor. Okay, some of you have never seen one and you don't know what it is, but that's fine. But I just felt, you know, we've got these two old tractors on the farm in the Karoo, and I think it's 15 or more years ago since I last worked on them, because that was my passion before I got filled with the Holy Spirit, before God took my life into a different direction. I used to love to work in a workshop on my own where there's no people to irritate me and frustrate me and just me and a machine that doesn't talk back. And it was really great, you know. But I enjoyed that. And I just felt the Lord taking me back to that time where I used to just get my hands dirty and get your whole body dirty sometimes because you're under the thing and into the thing and it's grease and oil. But I really felt the Lord wanting me to restore this tractor because I'd taken the cylinder head off and I'd, you know, left it there. And it just felt like it was unfinished business. Because when I went to the farm last year, I just couldn't stand seeing this tractor without it, half of its engine, and just lying there getting rusted and going to nothing. And I knew the thing could work, and I really believed that we can get this thing going again. Because my brother just wants them off the farm because they mean nothing. They're not going to bring money in for him because he's very focused on business, and old things don't mean much to a farmer these days. But my dad and I sort of share this passion, but my dad had lost his passion a little bit for it. And so I had this expectation this holiday that this tractor was going to start again. But I mean, obviously it took a lot of faith and hard work and getting the right parts in the right places. But praise the Lord, the thing started, and my dad's face was just something to behold. He was so excited again because he thought he had basically given up on this thing and let's just sell them or put it to scrap. But it was the same age as he is. We still walked into the workshop and my wife was there. He said to Esther, no, this thing's like same age as me. It's a 1949 model. So Esther says, no, Dad, you look a little bit better than this tractor. So. But the point is that this thing started, and the feeling of seeing this tractor start and run again, and you know, where some of the parts were basically rusted and you have to lie them in diesel to get all the rust off. But it was just so amazing for me to have that experience, that I had this expectation that this holiday, the few days I have, and my family had to sacrifice time with me because I just said, look, I'm going to spend a week focused from 8 to 5, sometimes 7 o'clock in the evening, working on this thing, getting it ready. And at the end of the holidays, it started, and my dad is now so excited to respray it and to restore it to like a perfect condition again, that we can actually have this tractor that's like an ancient or you know, one of these old tractors that people can come and have a look at, and it can still run and it can work if it has to. But it's like just that thing of restoration and that thing of having an expectation. And so I believe God has got an expectation for this year, and I believe we must ask God, what is His expectation? Because He wants to do amazing things. He really wants to change lives. So yeah, in Psalm 62, I just want to share a few thoughts with you around Psalm 62 and a couple of verses here. David writes here and he says, "My soul, wait silently for God alone, for my expectation is from Him." And David is writing here and he's telling himself, he's speaking to his soul and he's saying, "Soul, wait patiently for God alone." Because why? My expectation is from Him. My hope is from Him. My everything is from Him. So I believe that if we have to look into this year and we have to ask ourselves, what is the expectation in our hearts and what is God's expectation? I believe if it's not from God, we open ourselves for disappointment. We open ourselves for despair. So I believe our expectation should be from God. Amen. But when David speaks here and he says, wait silently for God alone, I believe it's sometimes so difficult, and it's now is the time, I believe, to practice waiting silently for God. Active waiting, active seeking of God. Because when life gets busy again and the year starts and there's so many stuff, so many things to do, then it's difficult to find time sometimes to just wait silently for God. So I believe at the beginning of this year, we must practice waiting silently. I mean, how difficult it is for us to just be still, isn't it so? It's easy sort of in the holidays when you don't have a routine and you don't have work to go to, you don't have kids to take to school and all the stuff that happens, you can sort of have that time to wait silently for God. But I don't believe we should just do it in the holidays. I believe we must do it as a lifestyle and tell our souls not to do nothing. So men, this is not the time for the nothing box. Any of you heard of Mark Gungor's Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage? You know, he talks about the men having this nothing box. Women don't have boxes. Everything just flows like that. So for a woman to wait silently, I guess they just want to talk the whole time. So I guess it's difficult for them as well. But for the men, this is not time for the nothing box. Because this waiting silently doesn't mean you just do nothing. It means an active choice to allow your spirit to rule over your soul. Because David speaks to his soul and he says, "Soul, be still and focus on God right now." So just look at last year, look back at last year and think to your own life, think about your life and think, where was the expectations that weren't met? Where was their disappointments? Where was their despair? Because maybe your expectation wasn't in God. Maybe your expectation was in people or even yourself to do great things. But if it's not from God, if expectation is not from Him, if our hope is not in Him, if we don't put Him as the focus of our expectation, then we open ourselves to do dead works. Amen. There's one commentator on this passage that writes the following. He says, "We expect from God because we believe in Him." Isn't that so? We expect from God because we believe in Him. Expectation is the child of prayer and faith and is owned of the Lord as an acceptable grace. I love what he says. Expectation is the child of prayer and of faith. It's where our souls wait silently for God and know what God is saying and what God is wanting to do and what God is actually wanting to impart into our lives. But so many times our soul wants to say, no, it's emotional and there's challenges and there's a lot of things happening, and we allow our souls to rule. And David says, "Be still." And he writes all over the Psalms, "Be still, my soul." But if our expectation is not from God, we're actually wasting our time. God wants to give us a great expectation for this year. Why can we expect from this God? Because this is an amazing God. And he writes the following. He says, "He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense and I shall not be moved." This holiday we had the privilege of also going to the sea, and I love swimming in the waves. I love the power and the strength of a wave. When you have to dive through it, you've got to sort of negotiate it. And went in one day, there was quite a current there at Cape St. Francis. We stayed there with friends for a couple of days, and there was big currents, and it was high tide, and you could experience just the power of these waves. And then you look further down the coast and you see these rocks that get beaten time after time by these massive waves. Then you understand and you realize that God is this rock that doesn't get shaken, that doesn't get moved by the power and the storms of life. God is our rock. So for 2016, I want to say that if you know this God who's your rock, he's your salvation, he's your defense, then you can start to have faith for great things. Because God is the one who's the rock. We are moved. We are shaken. We are little pebbles. We are, when a wave comes, we shake and we move. Unless we're positioned and engraved and grafted into that rock that is unmoved. Amen. So that's what we can say when we have this expectation, when we have this hope that God is going to do amazing things. We know it's because he's our rock and he's our salvation. What does salvation mean? Salvation means abundant life. It means deliverance. It means healing. It means prosperity. It means life in abundance. That's what I see salvation. So who of you needs salvation this year? All of us do. We think, oh, when we talk about salvation, we think, oh no, that's for like the unsaved. No, they just need to come to start the process of salvation, to get into life. But all of us need salvation this year. And so we need to proclaim and say that God is not only my rock, but God is my salvation. He's my deliverance. He's my healing. He's my everything. Not only is my rock and my salvation, but he's my defense. This holiday, I had a word for someone specific this holiday. So I could really see she needed this. I said to her that God wants to be your defender. Not like the Land Rover, much better. God wants to be your defender. God wants to avenge you. God wants to justify you. Because I could see that she so wants to prove herself and so wants to do the right thing, and it's just causing strife. It's causing her to almost justify herself. And so many times we do that, isn't that so? We try to justify ourselves or try to prove ourselves to people. Or if people hurt us, we try to earn their favor again or whatever. We try to just prove ourselves that we're okay in life. And God wants to say to us this morning that he's our defender. It's not only our defense. He is our defense, but he wants to defend us. He wants to justify us. He wants to fight for us. I think if we can live in that knowledge and that understanding, then I believe God can start to really work with us, and we can allow our emotions to just stay one side when God says he's fighting for us. He's our defense. So imagine not being moved or shaken or stressed this year. Imagine being like this rock. When the waves come, you're just so stable because you know the one who is stable, the one who's not shaken, who's not moved, who's not stressed. And David can write here and he can say, despite his enemies coming against him, he can say, I shall not be moved. The beginning of the psalm, he actually writes, I shall not be greatly moved. But it's like when he starts to confess who God is and starts to realize in his life who God is, then he starts to say, you know what, it's not like I'm not going to be greatly moved. I'm not going to be moved at all. I shall not be moved. Because God is my rock, my salvation, my defense. And then he goes on, he says, in God is my salvation. He repeats himself again and he says, not only is my salvation, but in God is my glory. We sang the song earlier, what are we going to boast in this year? What are we going to boast in? Are we going to glory in ourselves? Are we going to take glory for our own good works? Or are we going to boast in the one who needs all the honor and all the glory? Already who has all the honor and all the glory, but he wants us to bring him all honor and all glory. So I believe we should boast in God because he's an amazing God. And you know what will happen when we start to boast in God and we start to say, in God alone is my glory, in God alone is my everything, then we'll start not to boast in ourselves or boast in our own achievements or boast in other things anymore. We will just want to live for God. And then he goes on, he says, he's not only my salvation and my glory, but the rock of my strength. He's my strength. God is my strength. A rock is strong. A rock doesn't break under pressure. I believe God wants to sustain us this year. He wants to sustain us physically, emotionally, spiritually. He wants to sustain us. He wants to be our strength. Because we're all susceptible to weakness. Isn't that so? We all fall many times. We're all weak. We all come to this place of the end of ourselves. That's why we need a break. We need a holiday. But God wants to be our strength. Because He is our glory. Is our strength. And then He wants to be our refuge. He's our hiding place, our secret place, our shelter, our protection, our hope, our place of trust. Is God your refuge right now? Is God the one you run to first when times get tough? Is God the one you run to first when things go well? Because how many times do we need a refuge only in the tough times? But what about when you've had a breakthrough? What about when things are going well? Do we run to God and glory in God and say, God, thank you. Thank you that you are sustaining me, that you are my refuge, you are my breakthrough. So I believe God wants each of us to discover Him like David can write here. So many more things that he writes, but in this specific psalm, he focuses on these things. And I believe God wants each of us to discover Him in these various ways as our strength, our glory, our refuge. Wants us to be our salvation, our rock, and our defense. Because then what's going to happen if we discover God in this way? If we really know His character, then something's going to happen. We can fully trust Him. Some of us have never experienced God as our refuge because maybe we haven't gone through such tough times. Maybe we haven't gone through times of real struggle. And it's not like God wants you to go through struggle to discover Him, but He wants you to discover Him in all of these ways. He wants you to be weak at times so that His strength can be made perfect, isn't it? So He wants you to be a bit shakable, that His unshakable nature can come to the fore. He wants you to let go, and He wants me to let go. He wants us to be a little bit out of control so that we can testify that God truly is my glory, my strength, my refuge, my defense. Isn't that so? Because many times we're in control and we can control things. God has given us the ability to control a lot in our lives. But He sometimes wants us to let go and wants us to surrender and wants us to understand who He is, that we can be less and He can be more. I think that's the best place to be as a Christian. A little bit vulnerable, a little bit weak. And David was at this place where he fully trusted in God and he could say, God, I trust in you. And he could start to preach and he tells the people, trust in Him at all times, you people. You people of Israel, trust in God. And then he says, pour out your heart before Him because God is truly a refuge for us. We can trust Him at all times. But only when you've discovered who He really is. The Lord's covenant people are exhorted and encouraged to trust in Him. John Gill writes, a commentator on this verse. He says, the Lord's covenant people are exhorted and encouraged to trust in Him. Not in a creature, not in any outward thing, not in riches, in wisdom, in strength, in birth, in privileges, in the law and the works of it, even in their own righteousness. In their own hearts or in themselves or in others. But in the Lord only, both for temporal and spiritual blessings. How many times do we trust in our own culture? You know, the fact that I'm a king, well, so we trust in that because I'm living in a certain legacy. We trust in the fact that we are good at something and so we trust in that. We trust in riches because we have the ability to create wealth. And so we trust in those riches. We trust in the fact that we are hardworking. We trust in the fact that we have wisdom. And I believe those things are not bad. But I think if we're not trusting in the Lord who gives all these things, then we miss that abundant life. How many times do we trust in other people? And I think we should, to a degree, trust people. I think people need to earn our trust in the body. But I think if we're trusting primarily in people, we're bound for disappointment. Amen. Because people will let us down. even great Christian people, even leaders. But if we put our trust in God who's behind that leader, who's God who's living in that leader, God who's living in that person, then we allow people to make mistakes, but we trust in God's perfection. Amen. We can trust Him in all things. When I was driving to the farm, now our farm is also struggling with a bit of a drought at the moment, and you know, they stress very easily, the farmers, and I don't blame them. But my brother has been so blessed, he hasn't really experienced the drought. I think this is the worst drought that he's experienced in his more than 8 years on the farm, or close to 10 years. So I was driving to the farm and I could see, sure, you know, some Decembers it's so green, sometimes it's amazing, but then there are other times when, like now, when you drive there and it's just, it's really, it looks dry. The sheep are struggling to find something to eat. So we're driving on the dirt road and God just says to me, you know what? Has there ever been a time when I haven't provided rain? I don't think there's even been a year gone by, and I guess a year's long for a Karoo farm. If you don't have rain for a year, you'll be in trouble. But has there ever been a time long enough that you're going to die and animals are going to die and the farm's going to go to nothing? Has there ever been a time like this? And I just said, thank you, Lord, that the rain is coming. Thank you, Lord, that I can just relax and I can trust you. And God, I want them to do the same. So on the 30th, was it the 30th, I think? It rained 30 millimeters in one day. All over the whole farm. And it's like almost like we didn't really pray for the rain or anything, but I just had this peace that God is going to provide. And whether it's now in December or in January and February, the rain will come. God is in control. And so it was amazing. My dad, we said grace, and I said grace that day, and I was about to end off my prayer, and then I just said, God, thank you for the amazing rain that you provided yesterday. Thank you that you know exactly how much rain and in season and in time and the right amount. And so when I said amen, then my dad's like, yeah, and I just want to thank you, Al, for your contribution to the rain. You know, I just said nothing. I said, no, praise the Lord. Because he reminded me and he said, remember that time when you prayed about 10 or more years ago, when there was also the same time before my brother came back to the farm, there was a time when they were really struggling, and I came back and I was so excited. I'd met Jesus and I'd understood that I can pray and things can happen, and so I prayed, and that afternoon it started to rain. And so my dad said, remember that time? I said, yeah, I actually thought about it the other day. That we can trust God. And it was almost like I wanted to tell him, but I know he knows it, but just thought to myself, but you can also trust God. You can also pray. It's not like I'm special. But I had to laugh and I thought, God, thank you. We can trust in you. Even if we don't pray, you still send the rain. But there's this knowing that we can trust in God, that He will provide. And I want to say to you that this year, God wants to provide for you in every way. Amen. God wants to say to you that you can trust in Him. Each one of you. You can trust in Him for amazing things this year. Because He's your refuge. You need to pour out your heart before Him. You need to be honest with Him. You need to say, God, I cannot anymore. I'm weak. But God, I trust in you. I just want to end off with a story of someone who had great faith and a great expectation. And in fact, he didn't even know Jesus for a long time. It's a story we all know. It's about the centurion. Now, when Jesus has entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and I will heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this. And he does it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled, and he said to those who followed, assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. And I say to you that many will come from east and west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then Jesus said to the centurion, go your way, and as you have believed, so let it be done for you. And his servant was healed that same hour. One of the times in the Bible where Jesus says, you know, this is great faith. I believe he had great faith. Or I believe he had a great expectation because he had great faith. Because his expectation was that Jesus can heal this person. In fact, he had such great faith that he said, Jesus, you know, you don't even have to lay hands on this boy. You don't even have to come. You can just speak the word. I think that impressed Jesus, because a lot of the times if you read in the Gospels, Jesus came and he specifically touched people and he really prayed, raised people from the dead and touched people's eyes and healed and delivered and did lots of things. But I think what made Jesus so impressed about this guy's faith is that he understood authority. He understood Jesus' sovereignty and he understood the Father's greatness and the Father's authority over all sicknesses, all diseases, all unrighteousness, all evil. He understood the authority that God had. And he displayed that. Somehow he had seen Jesus. And he understood Jesus is the authority of the Father. Jesus has come to bring the Father's authority onto this earth. And so Jesus is so impressed and he says, listen here, as you have believed, let it be done for you. But he says something scary. He says, listen, yeah, some people are not going to walk in this faith, and some people are going to maybe walk away from their faith, the sons of the kingdom. And I believe he said that not to condemn people, but he said that to say to people, listen, yeah, you can have faith. You can sit at my right hand. You can be like many people that will come and sit with me and understand who I really am. Because Jesus is not going to tell us to do something, and he's not going to give us expectations and great things for the year if there's not that faith to do that, to fulfill that. So everything that God has purposed in your heart for this year, I want you to think about it if you haven't yet, if you haven't thought about what God is expecting from you or what God is expecting through you, what God is expecting to do, what you're expecting. If you haven't thought about that, then go to God and say, God, I want to do what you want me to do this year, and I want to have the faith. I ask for that faith, Lord. I want that faith that this guy displayed. I want that faith that what you want me to do, I can do. I'm not just going to do stuff because it's nice stuff. I really want to believe that what you say you can do, you're going to do it. So I don't know what you're expecting for this year, but I want to say that we serve a great God who's ready to do great things, but it's always according to the faith and the expectation in our hearts. So whether it's be physical healing for yourself, emotional healing, whether it's for other people, whether it's to make disciples this year, whether it's to see someone else come to know Jesus, to just grow personally in Christ, whatever your expectation is, if it's according to the faith that is in you, it will happen. We must ask the Lord to show us, God, what do you want to do this year through my life and in my life? So I believe we can have a great expectation for this year simply because Jesus gives us this measure of faith. Because he doesn't want us to miss it. He doesn't want us to be cast out into outer darkness, to miss the faith that he has for each person. And each person has got a measure of faith. That's the great thing. Even unbelievers out there, no matter how far they think they're from God or how much unbelief there is in them, everyone has got a measure of faith. Everyone can believe in this great God. But all of us as Christians, if you're a Christian here this morning, then you have that faith activated in you. You started to believe and walk a path with God. And you know what? He wants to take you on that path and increase your faith. Because he talks about great faith and he talks about little faith. So I believe God wants us to walk this year in a greater measure of faith. Not a perfect faith. None of us are perfect. But walk in greater faith than you did in 2015. Amen. Lay hands on the sick this time. When you see a sick person, oh, no, I don't really believe God is healed. So just lay hands on them and pray for them. And if they don't get healed, that's fine. At least you had more faith. You stepped closer to God doing something than just having doubt and saying, no, I don't really believe. Or I'm scared I'm going to fail. God wants to do awesome things. Jesus is the healer. He's the deliverer. He's the savior. You know, he wants to save people. Wants to make disciples of people through us. And he wants to build his church. That's what's so amazing, is he's going to build his church this year. That's what's great for me as a pastor to know, thank you God that I don't have to build your church. You're going to build your church, but there's stuff that you've asked me to do. You've asked me to make disciples. You've asked me to go into all nations and preach the good news. You've asked me to cast out demons and to heal the sick and to raise the dead. You will do it through me, God, but you want to use me. I believe we can have a great expectation this year. Do you believe that? Maybe you don't quite believe that. Then just let God stir that in your life. Because that's what I'm trusting for this morning, that you start to believe for this year. That you don't go through this year just the same old, same old. You know, there's that good old saying, and it becomes so... same old, same old. Because we say, if we always do what we've always done, we'll always get what we've always got. But it's true. But let's say, Jesus, what do you want to do through my life this year? What do you want to do in my life? Because Jesus always wants to work in our lives and through our lives. He never wants to just let us give out. He wants to fill us up, but he wants to change us. That we can have a testimony. That we can have life. That we can give people stuff that God is doing in our lives. Last story before we pray and we take communion. Christmas Day comes on the farm. So I know it's a time, it's an opportunity. I'm not personally convicted to celebrate Christmas. And I shared that with my family a while ago, but I know it's an opportunity where we can bless them. Mustn't make an issue about it and whatever. So Christmas lunch comes. It's just my brother and his wife and my dad and mom, the two of us and all the kids. So that morning we wake up and we did a little affirmation session with our kids. Because we just both felt, let's do this, use this Christmas thing to just bless people. Let's bless people, because that's what Jesus wants to do every day anyway. Sometimes we make such a big thing about Christmas, but Jesus wants to be celebrated every day, and he wants to celebrate people every day. And so we felt, let's celebrate each other today. You know, we give presents and we do all the things, and yeah, that's sort of byproducts. But I think Jesus wants to celebrate people, because he died for people. He was born for people, and he rose to heaven that people can have life. So we did a little affirmation session with our kids, and Matthew loved it. You know, we sort of just said, we're going to now say the nice things about each other. Caitlin was not quite with it totally, I think a little bit, and Nathan was just running around there making noises. And but Matthew loved it, and it was interesting to hear what they say about us, and here and there we helped them. And then we just felt, you know what, we're going to do the same for our family at lunch today. I don't know if they're going to join in, but the two of us, we're going to celebrate people. We're going to say what we appreciate about each person. And so it's awkward at times because, you know, with my family, we mustn't get too deep. Let's just keep it on a level and not get too deep. But I had an expectation that morning. I felt the Lord said that that's what we must do. Just love them and bless them. I had an expectation that God wanted to move. I didn't know what he was going to do. Maybe there were no outward signs, but at least they could know that we really love them. And so my brother asked me to say grace as usual. So I say grace, and then it's time for charging the glasses, and let's start to propose a toast. So I said, I want to just say a few words. I want to do it differently, and you guys are welcome to say stuff about anyone if you want to. But I just want to bless each of you. So I started with my brother and his wife, and I had a specific word for her, as I shared earlier, and then I shared with my dad and my mom. I forgot about my poor wife, but she always gets blessed by me. So, and there's like silence, and it's sort of almost awkward. And I said to Esther, but don't you also want to say something? You know, like, because I said to her before, and just please, I don't want to be the only one that speaks. So just say something as well, you know. And so my dad says, no, he wants to. And then Esther said, okay, I'll say something after dad speaks. And so my dad starts to speak, and he's barely got a word out. And I think basically what he wanted to say is just how proud he is of his two sons. And before he could even say a word, he just starts to weep. My dad is a very controlled person. He's not emotional. He starts to weep like I've never seen him weep before. I get a tear in my eye, and everyone's awkward, like my mom's hugging him. My mom's like, shame, you know, like, because she's never seen him cry. She's seen him cry when his dad died, and that was it. And then we just said, Dad, you don't have to say anything, because that says it all. So I just knew this was a Holy Spirit moment. And then my brother's wife shares, or Hester also just shared and blessed everyone. And my mom shares how proud she is of the two daughters in her daughters-in-law that are married to these men, because without them, we wouldn't achieve what we've achieved. And it was just so amazing. God was there. The Holy Spirit was there. The Holy Spirit touched lives. And that was what God wanted to show me, that if we have an expectation for Him to move, then He will move. If we come in love and we just want to bless people and love people, you know what? God is going to do mighty things. I believe it's just a sign of floodgates, just like Cheryl shared. Floodgates starting to open, tears happening, people weeping and wailing in prayer, not only just emotionally, but really crying for this nation. Floodgates starting to open, God starting to do amazing stuff. One life at a time. That's what we live for. If we have an expectation just of one life changing this year, then God will change that one life. So don't have a pie in the sky expectation. Have a real expectation that God is going to do something. Amen. And so that's what I want us to do. When we hand out communion right now, you guys can hand out the communion elements. I want us to, just as a response this morning, I want us to be very specific with God. You can start thinking about it now. You can close your eyes and you can say, God, if my expectation is not from you, Lord, then I don't want to expect it. But Lord, what are you expecting? Lord, I want to expect what you have faith for this year. God has got faith for miracles. God wants to do, He doesn't need faith. He does miracles. God wants to change lives. God wants to, He wants to move. But He moves through faith. He moves through expectation. He moves through when we have faith that we can say, Jesus, you can heal this person by just speaking. Jesus, you can disciple this person through me through amazing ways, Lord. You can change this life. You can save this hardened heart. You can touch this hardened heart through however, Lord. But I believe I want to be the instrument. I want to be the one who stands in the gap. I believe, Lord, as I pray this nation will change. I believe that rain will come. I believe that spiritual rain will come. Because I want to be the instrument, Lord. Not because I'm great, but Lord, you want to use me. And I believe some of us sitting here this morning, we don't really believe that God wants to use us. We believe God wants to use the pastor and the evangelist and the teacher and the prophet and the apostle and people working for the church or this leader or that leader. And I believe that's just nonsense. God wants to change that this year. God wants to use every single person. Because I believe our role as the fivefold ministry, we're only supposed to equip the saints. We are not supposed to do all the work. My heart this year is that I don't see miracles happen. I want to see miracles in your life. I want to see you lay hands on the sick and people get healed. I want to see you guys disciple people. I want to see you guys bring people to church and pray for them to get saved. Not even in church, out there. I want to see you guys prophesy. And things will happen. But it is according to your expectation. It's according to if you really desire it or not. It's according to if you really believe it or not. Then it will happen. So I want you to close your eyes and to ask the Lord now, God, what do you want to do through me this year? I want to pitch my faith, Lord. I want to have a goal specifically. I want you to do stuff in my life, first of all, but then through my life, Lord. I want you to take some time now, just a few minutes, to think about that and allow the Lord to show you. But be specific, you know. If it's waking up one morning and you know there's family dinner waiting or something, then Lord, I want you to do something there because it's an opportunity. Don't just go through the motions. Don't just have the same old, same old. Lord, there's a business meeting and I'm chairing this meeting, or there's a mother's group getting together. Lord, I want you to do something every time we meet because you are ready to move. Well, I'm going to class this year, Lord. I'm studying, and Lord, in my class, there are these people. Lord, show me the people that you want me to just make friends with, that you want me to walk a path with, that you want me to love. Because you want to do something in a life this year. God, a whole year is a long time. I want you to do it, Lord. Here I am. Use me. Send me. So think about it now and ask the Lord to show you. And then I want you to pray with someone, your husband or your wife, or someone that you can just share this with. Then I want you to pray and say, God, I feel this is what you want to do. I'm not going to walk in fear this year. I'm going to walk in faith. I want to believe that you're going to do this through me. So Lord, here I am. My expectation is in you, God.